You've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, and I am lovely. I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world and raise awareness for mental health. Join me as we journey through my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. You can follow my antics on Instagram at Lovely Travels and learn more about us at the website www.lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us. Hello, hello, Darius.
Hey, Emma.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's been happening?
Just working hard or hardly working.
Always the way, sir. Now tell me, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, Emma, we are talking about Australia.
Australia! I feel like we should have do-ka-do-ka-do-do-do-do-do. Like,
waka, 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 waka.
We are terrible at didgeridoo music. We are going to be, so in terms of following the countries that I have visited, we probably should start at number one. And although some people don't like to count countries you visited as where you were born, I have visited my own country. I have visited Australia, and it most certainly is UN recognised, and therefore it goes on the list that is number one.
Numero uno.
And the fun thing is that we both have lived in Australia, although not both, we both weren't born there, but certainly we both have a connection to Australia. So that is what we will be talking about today. So we probably should explain, even though I pretty much just went into it, what our connection is. What is your connection to Australia, Darius?
I wasn't born in Australia, but I moved there. Well, my mum moved there with me when I was around four-ish. We I grew up in Australia and I lived there in total for about 18 years.
I was going to say, I don't think your mother has grown up. Love you. She's listening.
Big shout-outs. Big shout-outs.
Yeah, she'll never grow up and we love her for that. I was born in Australia in 1987. Though my parents are English, so I'm an Australian with English blood. Very fortunately have two passports, as do you, Darius.
I do. I became a citizen in an Australian citizen in 2009, which was a long process, but very happy I've done it.
It's awesome. It's very handy being a dual citizen. We're both dual Super citizens. I think your passport is slightly more helpful than mine at the moment. Darius has a German and Australian passport. I have a British passport, which used to give me a lot of access to Europe, but until England lost its mind and Brexited. So who knows what that will mean. Anyway, we're not talking about Brexit in UK. That's next episode. Let's talk about Australia. It definitely is next. Germany might be next episode. Anywho, we'll figure out the episode.
The audience doesn't know what order we're going to do these.
There's a differing of opinions here. So we are somewhat following the sequence of the countries that Emma has visited. I have been to 64 countries in my life, but 57 of those are UN recognised. So originally I wanted to have the episode order for the podcast like that, but then, you know, that might get a bit boring. So I never do things in a linear fashion, so I don't know why I thought that would be the case. But so it will be higgledy-piggledy all over the place, but we will always tell you the number of the country for me if you would like to follow that list. I certainly have a blog about that list as well. She says this as she thinks to herself, write that blog. So our connection to Australia. I was born there, you lived there, and that's kind of it. But I still call Australia home. I live in the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. I've actually been very fortunate, and I think it's such a good thing, actually, to live in multiple cities within your own country. So I was born in Sydney, New South Wales. I moved to Melbourne, Victoria when I was 24, 2011. I lived there for 3 years. And then in 2016, I moved to the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia with my now husband because he got a job at SeaWorld. And, yeah, so I've lived in three pretty decent cities across Australia and it's been wonderful.
Yeah, very fortunate. I mean, there's a lot of great places in Australia, but those are three very good ones, or at least yeah. Three very, very international ones as well.
Yeah, look, if someone was visiting, I'd certainly recommend those three as well as places, hot spots to see. And I think the challenge with Australia, as we both know, is one, it's very far away from everything, and two, it's very, very big. So trying to get around is not always easy.
No. No, but stick with us because we have top travel tips, as we will for every country, for Australia this episode, obviously.
Well, that's a lovely segue as well to Darius, what is your favourite place in Australia?
That's a tricky one. But the one that I always think about when I think about places in Australia is probably Cairns up in Queensland. And not so much the, you know, the city of Cairns is all right. Nothing crazily special or nothing particularly picturesque, but just the sort of, you know, it's sandwiched in between, you know, rainforest and ocean. And then you go up into the tablelands up above Cairns, which are these beautiful sort of rolling grasslands with pockets of rainforest spread in them. Mm. It's just a really magical place.
Yeah.
And no, I really like it there. It's very beautiful. And I'd love to go back.
Yeah, that's funny actually. It took me up until 5 years ago, it took me till I was 27 to get to Cairns. It's a very, very, very popular tourist destination. But I think sometimes when you live in a place, you sort of go, oh yeah, that's always there. But it's like the top of the list, Great Barrier Reef. It's one of the things that everybody knows about Australia.
Yeah, go see it while it's still there.
Yeah, actually, to be honest. It's always like, oh, because that's it. We always like, oh, it'll always be there. But it is a very high-risk area for environmental damage. And, yeah, when I was 11, actually, my parents asked us, would you rather go to Bali or Cairns? So Bali is in Indonesia. Overseas trip, or would you rather go to Cairns, you know, and see this world, wonder of the world, the Great Barrier Reef? And we were like, duh, Bali. It's funny because if you are, I'm still, like, I do want to visit a lot of countries now, so that's still very much a priority. But, and I must point out at the moment, we are currently in a pandemic and restricted in our travel. So they're actually promoting in Australia, you know, when once things have quiet down, we're allowed to travel domestically, and I'm really excited about that. Actually, it's like, you know, I've prioritized overseas travel a lot in my life, and getting a nice excuse to visit my own country is going to be wonderful.
Hmm.
I've waffled on about Cairns, but I'm going to say my favorite place very quickly. I'm actually going to steal it from someone else. I have a family friend who lives in the UK, but he lived in Australia for a couple of years, and he always says the first thing he does when he gets to Australia and the first thing he always thinks about is that he gets off the plane, he goes straight down to Circular Quay in Sydney, he gets on a ferry and he goes over to Manly. And he's like, that is just the best trip in the world and it's the most beautiful spot. And for me, the reason Manly is my favourite place is because my great aunt and uncle live there. When my parents first emigrated to Australia, they lived with my great aunt and uncle in Balgala, near Manly, and it just feels like home. Like their house, they've always had the same house since I was a kid, and we had big family reunions there, and, I mean, it's beautiful. Whenever I stay with them, I walk down to the ferry and get the ferry into the city in the morning, and it's getting a boat into that harbour and seeing the Opera House and the Sydney Harbour Bridge, like, it is breathtaking, and you take it for granted. And so to be able to step outside of that and come back to it, you're like, my gosh, we are so fortunate to have grown up in this place. So, yeah, Manly.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Sydney Harbour is a very, very beautiful spot, very special spot in the world as well.
It is. It is. It's so iconic. And you sort of, I think sometimes you go, oh, yeah, that picture, oh, yeah, that. And then to stop to be there, even we had Indian friends come and stay last year, and they said, well, we're only here for a few days. So they got a house right down near the water, and they walked out to the balcony, and there's the harbour bridge. And I was like, why don't we do this? Like, we don't live here, but come and just stay for a night, do a staycation.
I lived in Cremorne and Mossman for a few years, and that was a really nice ride to work because I worked in the city and I'd catch the ferry. Sure beats a bus or a car when you know, every morning and every afternoon you get to see sunrise or sunset over Sydney Harbour, the Opera House, and just like postcards every day.
It's beautiful. Now, this one for Australia is probably, well, it might be a bit different for us because we've grown up here, but favourite food. I find this a really tough question. Do people ask you what's an Australian food? And I'm like,
Well, so like.
The question is, what's your favourite food?
Okay. That I can get in Australia or that is particularly Australian?
Well, you can decide.
It's tricky. Australia is very fortunate in that it has a wild range of foods and cultures and I don't know. I think Australia has great Thai food. probably pretty good Thai food in Thailand as well, but I haven't been. tricky. Maybe, I don't know, like self-caught seafood or like just a barbecue with friends.
You used to be a big fan of spearfishing, didn't you?
I did go spearfishing for a while there. some funny stories, the old spearfishing. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd pass.
You can't pass. What food do you think, when you get to Australia, do you have to have? That you can't get somewhere else.
Okay, I really like, I'm not sure how we're doing with product placements yet, but we are looking for sponsors. you know that barbecue sauce in the red bottle with the yellow lid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I'm not a barbecue sauce fan, so, but yes, I know it. It's a staple of the growing up. So yeah, okay, fair play. And actually, it's barbecues. People probably from Australia don't have the same. America do, but it's a different type of barbecue sauce. Mm. So they use it for different purposes. So yes, it's a big point of contention. Which do you have on your sausage sizzle? People don't even know what sausage sizzle is. It's a sausage on a piece of bread. That's it.
And onions and barbecue sauce.
Well, depending on your taste. See, I'm an onions and tomato sauce girl myself. All right.
The important part is flavorless white bread.
It is. The cheaper, the better. People, don't you splash out on that bread. Cheaper, the better. Okay, my favorite food, Australian food, has to be Tim Tams. And that's the thing you miss when you go over. And probably, again, harping back to my Manly, when I go and see my auntie and uncle, the first thing I do is offer to make coffee and tea, and there's always a packet of Tim Tams. It's just an excuse to have a Tim Tam, really. I just want to dip the Tim Tam in. And that's the gift I take when I go to visit friends. If I have time, did I bring you a packet when I saw you last?
No.
Oh, rude, because I definitely took some over.
Can you bring me barbecue sauce next time?
I can, yes. But generally the request is Tim Tams or if it's not a request, it's usually the gift. So
yeah,
you can get them, but they are very expensive overseas, unjustifiably so.
Yeah, my friends in Germany who have visited Australia, they're always like, you know, whenever, you know, mum comes over or something like that, I always ask her to bring like extra luggage of Tim Tams.
Yeah.
So I can slowly, you know, dish out a packet at a time over a period of months. And they're like, where do you keep getting these from?
I probably should explain too. They're like they're a chocolate biscuit, and it really pisses me off when I go to America and they're like, so they're these chocolate cookies. I'm like, they're not a cookie. It's a biscuit. So it's two biscuits with a chocolate cream in the middle, coated with chocolate. And they are delicious, made by Arnott's, because we are looking for sponsors. I actually know somebody who worked for Arnott's and he sent me a buttload of them. It was the best thing ever. But what you do as well is you get they're a rectangle shape and you bite off alternate corners and then you dip slightly, just dip one corner into your coffee or hot chocolate or tea, whatever your preference.
Or milk.
Needs to be hot. Preferably hot. And then you suck through the Tim Tam your liquid of choice until you just get a little bit of a sip. And then you take said Tim Tam, which is now molten, and you put it in your mouth and it melts and it's delicious and it's amazing.
The skill is actually trying to suck as much beverage through the Tim Tam without it disintegrating into your drink.
And then you can take it one step further, which my wonderful friends did at the comedy festival, and I got pulled up on stage to do it. They had a glass of vodka. It was triple strength vodka. And it's called a Tim Tam Slam. Yes. So you suck the vodka through the Tim Tam and then you bite the Tim Tam and it tastes disgusting. But I did gain a glass of vodka out of it for free.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, drink responsibly, but Tim Tam Slam. It was very funny.
Typically Australian, eh?
Very Aussie. Getting drunk off Tim Tams, but no, but I must say it is very hard when people ask you what your favourite food is from Australia. And you said that Thai story, that's very funny, because a friend recently, two of our friends are about to go on a big road trip. We don't know how long they're going for. They're going to go all around Australia and we're giving them tips. And one of the friends said, oh, have you ever been to Darwin? And he said, no. And he goes, okay, we'll go to Darwin. Darwin's on the top of Australia, Northern Territory, beautiful place. And he's like, okay, and when you get to Darwin, you got to have the Vietnamese food. And he's like, honestly, the best Vietnamese food in the world. So just go to Darwin and have the best Vietnamese food. And I was like, or maybe you could go to Vietnam.
No, I don't know.
Like,
I think
going Vietnamese food. And I'm like, Vietnam.
I think it's different. I think it's, you know, it's you know, a lot more accessible in Australia.
But fair enough. But you're promoting, but we're not, like, that's fine if you're in Darwin. We are in the Gold Coast. It's quite a ways telling someone to go to all the way to Darwin to get Vietnamese food.
That's true.
I'd rather say go to Darwin and swim with a crocodile. Don't die, but swim with a crocodile, you know.
Yeah. Honestly, I wish when I went to Darwin that someone had told me about the good Vietnamese food, because there's not of a whole lot extra to do there.
You can swim with crocodiles.
Yeah.
Duh. All right. Darius, you don't live here anymore. So
correct.
Apart from food, namely barbecue sauce, what do you miss most about Australia?
Look, it's for me, it's a bit of a tricky question because it's not so much a place.
You miss
but
me.
It is my friends in general. You know, I spent many years living there and growing up with people and going to school with people. And for me, Australia is very much a connection to the people that live there, which is also a big reflection on Australian culture and Australian people in general, because it's a very welcoming and warm place. But yeah, what I miss most, was that the question?
Yes.
What I missed most is my friends, family, and just the people.
Hanging out.
No, even just like walking, you know, even people you don't know. They're like, compared to other places in the world, Australians are very welcoming, very friendly for the most part. You know, very likely to get a good morning and how you doing when you're walking along the beach or whatever. And it's, yeah. So I miss the Australian people most.
Oh, that's lovely. It's okay, Darius, I come to you. I bring the Australian people to you.
Hooray!
Except for now, because I can't go anywhere. Tell me, I'm going to ask you to name one, but I feel like this could go on for a while. What is one fun fact about Australia people might not know?
Okay, cue my fact corner, name TBA music, intro music segment with show within a show.
Worried.
No, this will get better as time goes on.
Okay. But
did you know that Australians drive on the left?
Well, I did. I hope I know that. No, to be fair, though, to that yesterday I hadn't driven the car for a while because quarantine. And I was like, oh, what side do I drive on? So thank you.
Australia. You're welcome. You're welcome. Australia is also the only continent in the world without an active volcano. So volcano fans, don't bother. There are more kangaroos than people. And this is a two-part fact. You'll learn two things. So there's about 50 million kangaroos, which means there's about 25.5 million Australians.
That was good segue. Good segue. I need you to stop the facts now because
there's also Australia is also home to the longest fence in the world.
And oh, runs, I knew that bit. The rabbit-proof fence.
Yeah, maybe 5,500 kilometers.
Well,
5,500.
You can segue into
my
that.
Part of I'm not finished, Emma. There are over a million wild camels living in Australian deserts, which were originally brought over for railroad construction.
Okay, we need to stop you just reading off the internet. You have to prepare the facts in future. And
what do you mean? I did.
You prepared them and then you rattled them off. You do realise I must let the audience in on a secret. We are recording on Zoom and I do have the power to mute you. So let's keep the facts tight.
You're forgetting who edits this. I'll just turn the whole thing into an hour-long episode about facts.
Can't you have like a spin-off series?
Yes, but first you need to be successful and then, and then I can, you know, use bunny hop off that.
Well, I'm going to backtrack segue into your fun fact, which was about the rabbit-proof fence. Well, it's just a fence, but there was a lovely movie, not quite, oh, it's not really lovely, actually, it's dealing with quite horrible incidents, but there's a wonderful movie called Rabbit-Proof Fence, which is about that very long fence, and about an Indigenous children who were of the stolen generation. They were taken away, which is a very sad part of Australian history. And they follow that fence in order to get home. So, yeah, it's a wonderful rabbit-proof fence, great movie. So,
Australian Aboriginal culture is actually one of the oldest continual civilizations on Earth.
It's really important information.
60 to 40,000 years old, the culture. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Your ability to keep segueing back to facts and stats is also crazy. So we're going to skip the next section, which was called stats. And you can have that for next. You can have it back when you learn how to manage your stats and your facts responsibly.
Okay.
My next section, because, you know, we want to follow some sort of a sequence here, but I'm calling it Memories, Anecdotes and Funny Parts. Tell us
That's
a memory.
That's a catchy title.
It's almost good as facts and stats that never end with Darius. We're just bickering now. Pull a memory, Australian memory. Go, from all of your years of living here and travelling here. Go. Pass.
Not pass. Hang on, we can edit this bit out. I don't know. All my memories, my early memories are all shitty.
Maybe it can be a wonderful memory of that time that you went to the Paralympics with a wonderful girl called Emma and she was so fascinated with your satchel. Do you remember that?
I think so.
Darius and I were hanging out in year seven. We got to know each other in year seven. We were respectively, we were both 13 by the time, 13, and we went to the World Olympics were on in Sydney, Australia in 2000. And after the Olympics comes the Paralympics. And as a school excursion, we got to go to the Paralympics. We watched the wheelchair track race, which was really wonderful. And Darius and I hadn't really hung out much, but we hung out that day. And the main reason was because, and he probably doesn't know the main reason, but the main reason was because he had this really awesome backpack, which had a seatbelt. It wasn't a backpack, it was a satchel. And the arm strap was made out of a seatbelt, and the bag itself was made out of chair material?
A tarp.
It's really funky.
I think they're Swiss. The brand is called Freitag, and they make these recycled bags. I don't know where that bag got to because they're pretty expensive.
It was very cool. I was very impressed. He also had black long. I think he just dyed your hair. He had long black hair.
A little bit. This is about Australia, not about Darius's bad haircut choices through the years.
No, it was great. Anyway, that's when we really became friends. I think that's a significant memory. That's why we're here
today.
Sounds like
your memory, not my memory.
Well, you couldn't come up with a memory, so I had to improvise.
I did, yeah. Okay. How is this related to travels?
Well, it's part of our journey, Darius. Life is a journey. That was back way back at the Casbah.
Life is a highway.
And, that's where we met. We met it at high school. And here we are today in our respective countries talking about travel, which is pretty cool, I think. It's a great memory.
Travel, in air quotes.
We traveled to these Paralympics.
I guess.
You need to broaden your horizon. Okay, for me, travel is more than
Hang on. You're just asking me these questions. Am I supposed to be asking you questions?
No, it's meant to prompt a conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, we're doing fine then.
This is the fun part. You're taking the quiz to. It's not a quiz. It's prompts. So you've been prompted. If you don't want to be prompted, you can be unprompted. You can ask me, Emma, what's your favourite memory of Australia?
Emma, what is the government type of Australia? Did you say parliamentary democracy under a constitutional monarchy? That's right.
I'm going to really ban reading Wikipedia live on the podcast. You're on Wikipedia, aren't you?
No, I'm on the CIA World Factbook. Shout out to the CIA. You're probably listening.
100% listening. All right, we're going to skip memories because it's really like dragging us through the mud.
Are we going to skip it, like edit it out?
No.
Okay.
You're going to decide if this is hilarious enough. Darius, you've been into Australia, you've lived in Australia, you've also brought people to Australia. So what do you show your visitors when they come to Australia?
Obviously it depends where I am in Australia, but I think a great day out in Sydney, for example, is also like a, walk around the harbour, maybe through the botanical gardens, catch a ferry somewhere, maybe to Manly. Then come back and head straight to Chinatown and eat as much yum cha as you can without feeling sick.
Yes, yum cha is excellent in Sydney. I miss it, actually. There's an okay one up here, but it's nowhere near as good as down in Chinatown.
Germany just doesn't do yum cha. I don't understand.
It's a really lost opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, actually, you prompted a memory of mine on that. I had a friend once come, a family friend come, and I was so busy. I knew she'd been to Australia before. I was so busy trying to show her not the typical stuff and try to show her the local Australia and show her all these unique spots, like take it again, really, really advertising Manly here, but Manly Dam. Dad was living in Coogee at the time, so went around Coogee. We're living in, we used to live in Sutherland, so took her around down to Warnerra Dam. And, yeah, we're driving back through the city one time. She's like, do you mind if we just go by the Opera House? And I was like, oh, sure. And she's like, oh, it just would be nice to see it. And I was like, oh, but I thought you'd see it. And she was like, yeah, but it's kind of a special place. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I totally took it for granted that we have access to it all the time. And regardless of whether you've been here before or not, it's remarkable. So I was like, oh my gosh, sure. So we drove into the city, parked and just went all around, and that was very nice.
Can't believe you forgot to show someone the Opera House.
She'd been there before. She wanted to see it again. But my trip is also, I think we should point out, we both grew up in Sydney. So, you know, and then it is this place that a lot of people fly into. They're either going to fly into Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane, probably predominantly for the first time.
I've flown into Perth.
Yeah, but for the first time you come into Australia, you're probably going to head to the East Coast. Some people tend to go to Western Australia because they've got family or a friend connection or something like that. It's absolutely phenomenal. I think more people should get over there, but it is certainly a lot more remote and further than the East Coast. You kind of need to pick a side. but anyway, Sydney, my number one tourist visitor spot, and I take a lot of people there, is Symbio Wildlife Park, which is about an hour south of Sydney in a place called Stanwell Park, or Stanwell Tops, near Stanwell Tops. And it's just such a lovely, like, it was a little family-run animal park, and you could just get really up close to the animals. You can, you know, have a photo with a koala, see a talk, you can feed the kangaroos, and just very authentic. And yeah, I love visiting there. And now it's really nice, they're doing lives from Symbio, so they do lives of the animal feedings and stuff, so I like to watch that on Facebook sometimes. But that South Coast Drive as well from Sydney, if you drive about 2 hours south, it is just absolutely breathtaking to see South the coastline. Coast is very nice. It is stunning. So
also just a regular old bushwalk in the Royal National Park is also quite a good way.
It is, and there's nothing like the bush. You know, in other places they call them forests, or they call them parks or jungles or whatever. The bush is quite Australian. And it looks different and it feels different. And, yeah, getting back to the bush does feel like home, doesn't it?
You know what lives in the bush?
I feel a fact coming on.
Oh, it's the wombat. And did you know that a wombat's poo is square so that it doesn't roll away, which makes it easier for them to mark their territory?
Fun fact for Darius. when is a good time to visit Australia, Darius, in your opinion?
I feel like spring or autumn.
When is that? Because it's different to other places.
So spring would be from no, I'm really bad at months.
September
to November. and then autumn from April till May-ish, June-ish to June.
March to May.
Yeah.
The opposite to yours.
But I don't know when mine starts here either.
Well, that's quite a lot of time. I would say for me, depends where you live though, because like for Queensland, you know, some people like to visit in the summer, but summer in Australia is very hot, and further north you go, it gets more humid. So I actually love, and we had some friends come and visit in August, and it was the winter, and had they known that it was the winter, they actually probably wouldn't have booked the trip. But it turns out they got the most perfect weather because it's so dry. So because we're north of, we're almost at the equator where we are, we're near the equator. What am I talking about? We're closer to the equator in this half. We're closer to the tropics in Queensland. We have dry and wet seasons more so. So I like August, September, October. I think they're really nice up here. We had a lovely April, but I think March and April can be a bit dubious. I'd probably say avoid January, February, because January is the school holidays. There's lots of people, so it makes things very expensive and busy, and it makes it very hot.
I feel like Australia is a hard country to cover in just one episode, especially because we both, like, know quite a bit about it.
Well, I have a feeling we'll revisit Australia a number of times because we will probably investigate the states and the cities in the future.
Have you been to all the states?
I have, actually. I made it in my mission in 2012. I love missions. You'll learn this about me. Love challenges. Okay. Yep. I realized that in 2012 I was like, I have been to the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty, so some of these world-famous places, and I had not been to the Northern Territory at all. Mm. I hadn't been to Tasmania at all. I hadn't been to South Australia. And I was like, that's disgraceful. Yeah. So that year I went to Adelaide, which is in South Australia. I went to Ayers Rock, Uluru, which is in Northern Territory, and I went to Tasmania on a trip with my mum. So I've now been to all states.
No, I'm still missing South Australia and Tasmania.
Well, next time you come, we'll go, because Tasmania honestly blew me away. I've been about 5 times now because a lovely friend lives down there. I'm very, very overdue a visit. But honestly, like we in Australia, we tease the Tasmanians a lot. It's our we make a lot of fun of them. We say they've got 2 heads and they're all inbred and they need a different currency and all this sort of stuff. And we say they're not really part of Australia. It's really quite mean.
But then I went there.
It is, but it's what happens. Everybody has a place that they tease in their country. But then I went there and I went, Australia, Tasmanians are the smartest people in the world because it is absolutely beautiful. And
they're probably just trying to, you know, keep it on the down low so that it doesn't get overrun.
I think that's exactly what happened. The produce, the food is amazing. The wine food, is beautiful.
If I can revisit my favorite thing about Australia, instead of saying barbecue sauce, it's probably just the food in general. And Tasmania is probably even a class above it. But Australia is very fortunate in the quality of food that it gets.
Oh, for sure. And it's just amazing. In the fridge. Sorry. Speaking of wine, Australian wine, my husband is coming in search of the wine. I don't know why he thinks it would be with me, but.
Did you know Australia has over 60 separate wine regions?
I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me because, ask my mother about wine. We could have 2 or 3 podcasts about that. Orange wine. but like you said, Australia is a hard one to do one episode on because we are very, very well versed in it. So we'll certainly revisit Australia.
Send us your Australia questions to our new email address, which is info@lovelytravels.com. That's lovely with double L in the middle somewhere.
That's the one. I'm just going to I want to ask you just a couple more things before we wrap up on the Australia episode, because we certainly, as we've said, we'll revisit it with visiting the states, talk about the different states and territories of Australia, and we'll also talk about some of the lovely cities and places of Australia because they deserve their own episode. But you tell me, what's the top tip for someone visiting Australia for the first time?
Don't rush it.
Yep.
It's a big place. You're going to have to travel quite a while to get there. It's really hard to, you can see stuff, but like there's so much to see. So I would say like 3 weeks is an absolute minimum to see like 2 big cities and surrounding areas.
Agreed.
So bring time and just, get your ass over there.
My top tip would be, and I think this is probably something very different to some of the other countries you might go, Australia has a very old history, but a lot of our history is in the land and it's in the stories. So if you're coming to Australia and expecting to see a lot of landmarks and a lot of buildings and a lot of museum type things, that's not really the way to travel Australia. The reason you need 3 weeks is you need time to get around. You need to see the beautiful vistas. You need to see the beautiful landscapes. You need to hear the stories. Like, I used to live in Melbourne and it was really hard to tell people what to see and do, because the best way to see Melbourne, and it was even a TV ad, was to discover it. and to explore it, and you would hear this like, oh, there's this bar down this side alley, and literally the ad was like chasing a ball of string that was rolling through the city, and that's kind of what it's like. So unlike Europe, where they're so rich in history and there's something on every corner that happened, and you could fill your days in that city but also feel like you've really covered a lot of the culture and the history in a short space of time, you don't get that in Australia. You need the time to travel around and to really feel into those places. So that's the beauty of Australia.
Yeah, definitely. And like, you know, there's, you know, you might need to travel to Darwin for good Vietnamese.
And that is a long flight and they are very weird times. I was trying to go to my friend last 2 years ago. It was just really hard to find a time because, like, the flights would go at, like, 1 a.m. or, like, weirdo times. We'd either have to go for a week or for 3 days.
Yeah. I think, you know, to just quickly touch on the time thing, if you look at a map of Australia, you can look at these maps where it's, like, a picture of Australia laid over another country. It's like pretty much the same size as the whole US, the United States of America. You know, it's massive, like it just covers Europe like completely.
Twice. You can fit Europe in twice.
Well, there you go. I guess by covering it completely, that, you know, still is accurate. Yeah, so bring time, get a car, drive around. Drop into my mum's place in Newcastle. She'll be happy to see you.
Yeah, make sure to visit Orange in New South Wales, the cultural capital of Australia, according to Sarah Lovell. She'll also welcome you. Basically, just do a tour visiting our mums. They will bloody love it. Let's finish on, we like to sign off our episodes with a saying from a different country, but I'd like you to sign off with your favourite Australian slang or phrase, please.
I don't know. I kind of like. I don't have one, Emma. You start.
Okay. So.
Okay. Hang on. Let's do it again. Cut. Edit. Edit.
Why don't you just ask me that, and then
Emma. Emma.
Yes, Darius.
What is your favourite bit of Australian slang that you would like to give our listeners for when they visit?
Well, you know, in Australia we speak English, but it sounds quite different to the foreigners. So you might find that it's a bit hard to understand because we pronounce things differently. But my father is very English, and he's lived in Australia for like almost 40 years, but he still is quite proper. And one day he said this phrase and I just couldn't actually believe that it came out of his mouth. It's an Australian phrase which says, "I'm so hungry I could eat the crotch out of a low-flying duck." I was like, that's so disgusting and vulgar and so Australian, and I love it.
You're about as useful as a screen door in a submarine.
So are your facts.
The average Australian drinks 96 litres of beer per year.
Wow. Thank you for shouting at our listeners. We're going to wrap it up right there. Thank you for joining us again. Next week, we are going to be talking all about Darius's homeland, Deutschland.
The land of beer and bratwurst.
Und pretzels, ja.
Und pretzeln.
Yeah. So
yeah, it will be our episode with the most facts to date. So hang on to your hats.
Oh, wow. So much editing to be done. All right. We'll see you next week.
I figure we can start somewhere around the 12th century and work our way forwards.
Please sign off. We're going to sign off with an Australian farewell today. So, see ya.
Cheers, love.